Good morning, family. I was good. Now I'm better. And this youth morning has touched me. I am the next-gen pastor here, and I cover, as many as you know, from birth through college. And I've heard the hearts of the young people for a couple of years. They wanted to lead more. They wanted to do more. And then we had a retreat last year where Bryce came up with, hey, a lot of these guys want to play an instrument. Can we just get together and play an instrument? So Bryce, thank you, you and your team. They give their time unto the Lord to stay with the students on Sundays and practice with them. I could stand up here all day and talk about that. My young friends, y'all made me so proud. Today, you make me proud every day, but thank everybody that has served. Thank you for your yes. Y'all, it's hard to give a yes to pray in front of a congregation, to play an instrument. Y'all know that. A lot of y'all have done that. So let's give God one more hand praise for our youth. I'm so full. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting right here on the front row enjoying the sermon. Y'all was with me, wasn't you? Because I hear you laughing. And Pastor said something like, Pastor Felicia, are you excited? And I said, I am, because I live in excitement. That's my lane. He said, well, good. Can you preach on November the 30th? We have laughed about that, y'all. Y'all were texting me during the service, go, did you know about that? Did you know about that? And I did not know about that, but he knows my heart. He knows that I love being with y'all. And he said, let's make it a youth Sunday because that was a vision I had for next year. But God called it into play that day right in front of our family. So, hey, want to do it? Yes. So I gave my yes. It was a great time. Pastor knows my heart. He does. And it has been awesome. And so the Lord has given me a word today that I pray what you hear from him through me makes you sit up a little straighter, smile a little brighter, lower your shoulders a little lower, and that your joy may shine a little differently today as you leave. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you would speak through someone like me, God, that don't have it all together, that live some days and days of sadness, lots of joy, but a little sadness. Lord, I pray today that you send a word through me that would be transformative for your people that are sitting in this holiday season not knowing the next, feeling the next emotion, feeling the next tear, feeling the next loss. Lord, we know you have something for each and every one of us in this room. And we're so grateful to you for it. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So a lot of times I teach younger people. I speak to younger people. And when I do that, I tell the story. The youth, last year I said, what do y'all want this year? And they said, we want something that we can learn on Sunday and do it on Monday. Don't we all want that, y'all? I was like, I got that. That's what they wanted. So today I'm going to come to you from 2 Timothy. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy. And the Lord gave me a word that day that Pastor asked me to speak. And he gave me a word that afternoon that he started stirring in my heart. And it was about that tomorrow will be the last month of the year for us. And as we go into that last month of the year, what is our next? What is our next? So we're going to talk about today, fan it forward, don't lose the fire or the flame, no matter where you are. Don't lose the fire or the flame. So can I set it up for you a little bit? Can I tell you what's going on here in 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy, before we hear Paul's instruction to fan into flame, we need to understand the moment he's writing from. Not only do we need to know who he's writing to, about, and how, and why, where is he? What is he doing? Paul is not writing this letter from a comfortable place. He's writing from a cold Roman dungeon the Mamertine or Mamertine prison, chained like a criminal, knowing his execution is near. He's not his lazy boy watching the Channel 5 news and penning a note. His end is coming. He's in a dungeon. He's probably not in the best place of his life. This is the last letter we have from him, his final words, his spiritual will and testament, if you will. And he writes not to a church, not to a crowd, but to one young man, Timothy, his spiritual son. Timothy is in Ephesus, trying his best to lead a complicated, growing, multi-generational church. All right? That's what Timothy is trying to do. He is trying to lead people older than him. He is navigating tension and false teachers. He is battling insecurity. He is facing spiritual pressure and carrying grief because Paul, his spiritual father, is suffering. Paul knows Timothy is afraid, and we'll read about it in a second. He knows that Timothy cries easily because he names his tears. That's important. It's important to know. He knows Timothy wrestles with self-doubt. And yet, locked in a prison cell with what I can imagine, only a piece of parchment and urgency, Paul writes words that cut straight to the soul. So we'll start in 2 Timothy, and I'm going to read more than what's probably on the screen. I'm going to start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. Timothy, I know you have tears. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me in this prison as a prisoner. Now, a few things in this text that I love. Paul is his spiritual father. I have a couple of spiritual fathers that I call on. And they lean into my tears. They lean into my grievances. They celebrate with me. It's amazing what a spiritual father can be to you. I have spiritual brothers. One that texted me last night and said, I'm praying for you. I'm excited for you. I know you're ready. That's important, y'all. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. I have spiritual sisters texting me this morning. I love you. I'm excited for you. And it's important. Our lineage is important. Grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. It's important that we remember good, bad, and different who we come from. That's important. I'm not always, my mom and dad are both in heaven. I'm proud of everything they did. My kids are here today. They're not proud of everything I've done, but it's important to know who you come from. It's important to know that when you're suffering, look back to your parents. When you have joy, look back to your parents. So Paul, his spiritual father, that are spiritual fathers are so important. Can I just ask you to think about that for a minute? Your spiritual family. If you have a spiritual father, they're a joy to have. So, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. This message is a reminder that God lit something in you this year. The same anointing that he lit in you this year is the same one that you're going to take with you into 2026. It don't stop when the calendar flips. The Lord says, oh, we're done with that. Nope, you still got it. We see all the memes of new year, new me, new year, new me. We see it. We're going to see it on January the 1st. I'm just going to tell you. You're just going to see it. That didn't have to be us. God wants us to build upon the flame he has already set in us. And we're going to talk about grief. We're going to talk about loss. We're going to talk about depression. We're going to talk about those moments that we don't talk about, that we don't put in those highlight reels, Pastor. We're going to talk about those things today. God lit something in you this year in the midst of depression, in the midst of heartbreak, in the midst of divorce, in the midst of no job. He did. How do I know? Because y'all are sitting here living. He still got you. Don't mean it's easy, but he's got you. All right? He intends for you to take a little piece of your flame with you to the next. We don't blow it out. We don't have to start over. If we do, that's something we're yearning for. You don't have to do that. You can build on what God started. Timothy is young, fearful, timid, under pressure, grieving. Paul doesn't say, son, go lay down. Did he? He called him up. Hey, son, you got something to do here. I can't do it. You got to go do it. I know you've got tears. I know this isn't where you want to be. I know them people are problematic. But you got to go. Why? Because God has put you here. He has set a fire, a flame in your spirit. The Holy Spirit has delivered that. You have to go. Wipe your tears and get it together because we see it. Timothy, the flame is still there. Don't lose it. And God says the same thing to us today. We've all experienced something this year. I'll tell on my own family. In January, my husband worked for the federal government. Do I need to tell you anything else? We got a fork in the road email, January the 20th or 16th or 18th or something. Got a fork in the road email. We dealt with that email through March. I will tell you, I will confess right up here that my husband was more faithful during that time with the Lord. I was in the corner going, what are we going to do? And he said, it don't matter. Lord's got the God's got us. What are you doing? That's my husband. And God blessed us in March in a way that we didn't even see coming, to where now my husband is fully retired and doing a great job. So God will deliver you out of that. Before we go any deeper, when I talk to the young people, they'll be like, but Miss Felicia, what is the fire? Like, what does that even mean? Like, that's a cool word, but what does that mean? The fire is the Holy Spirit empowering the gift and calling God placed inside of you. When Paul says, fan it into flame, he is talking about the Holy Spirit working through Timothy's spiritual gift, not through his emotions, not through his circumstances, his spiritual gift, empowering Timothy's calling. Do you believe you have a calling on your life? Do you believe you were created for a purpose? Let me answer the question for yes, because you're here and you are uniquely you. You're probably not like the person sitting next to you, and you better praise God for that because he made you you. It's not hype. It's not emotion. They show us that in the text. It's not personality. It's not if you're a fun person to be around. That's not the flame. Being excited is not the flame. It may appear to be a flame, but it ain't the flame. It's the Holy Spirit that we have to embrace and leave room for, because if we don't, what's going to happen? We're going to smother it out, and our fruit will not show. It will not show to the young people. It will not show to the middle-aged people. It will not show to the older people. It will not show to anybody. We've got to leave room. Well, next thing, I'm coming to you again. Your flame wasn't self-made. You didn't do it. I don't care the title, the position, the paycheck, the name on the sign, the brass plate by your desk. Your flame wasn't self-made. It was lit by God's presence, God's grace, God's calling, and God's faithfulness. God sustains it, but you know what Elder Sherman says about but. But we tend to the fire. He's going to give it to us. He's going to show us. He's going to sustain us when we're like, we can't do it, not another day. But we tend to it. And we tend to it well, to the best way we know how, when he gives it to us. God lights it. God sustains the flame. And we tend to it. We have a job to do. We have a job to do. This is order. This is order. Paul's instruction echoes God's original command to Israel's priests. What I love about the living word is you usually don't hear something one time. You can go back and you hear it somewhere else. So we're going to go to Leviticus 6, 12 and 13 today. God himself sent fire from heaven. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must, not maybe, the fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Do you think he built you with a fire of the Holy Spirit to go out? That's right. That's right, he did not. God himself sent fire from heaven, but he required the priest to feed it, tend to it, keep it burning. Listen to me, moments may spark your fire. There may be moments that you're like, yeah, God's good. He's got me. You need to stay there when he didn't feel that way. Devotion keeps it alive. Staying in his word, staying close to him, praying. You don't need a new fire next year. Now, can we pray for a fresh anointing? Amen. We can do whatever we want to. I'm just trying to help you. Lord, we need something a little fresher next year than it was in this year. I don't know how to say this without, I feel like sometimes I'm talking to my children. Let me dial that back. You need to tend the fire he already gave you. Now, I read something the other day online, and I'm going straight off memory, that said something like, God delivers joy in the midst of grief. And then I was like, in my head, defining grief is not losing a loved one necessarily. It's grieving a friendship that you once had. It's grieving a job that you once had. It's grieving a family. Grief is so broad. But the guy said, God delivers a joy in the midst of the grief, and sometimes we wait for him to change our circumstance before letting him change us. Lord, change it. He's like, but where are you? Are you leaving me space? Are you tending to the fire that I've lit within you? Or you just keep asking? Paul warns Timothy about fear because fear suffocates fire. Now, quickly, fear doesn't always mean scared. Can and does most of the time. I know in my life, in my friends' lives, family, you can be fearful of success. That sounds crazy, don't it? But it's like, man, they want to promote me, and if I take this promotion, I'm going to get up there, and I may fall down, and I'm fearful, and it's holding you back. They're trying to put you up here. But fear is holding you back. Paul warns Timothy about fear. Fear isn't the only thing that can smother a flame. Fear extinguishes a flame. Neglect can extinguish the flame. Isolation diminishes the flame. Distraction weakens the flame. But God is calling you to keep it burning. Can I tell you something, though? That's what my 7-year-old niece says. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something, though? Not your worst enemy can steal your flame from you. The devil himself cannot get it from you. That's why we have to be mindful of the company we keep and the way that we pray and the way that we sit and the way that we talk to people. Nobody can. That is yours. That's what God has given you. Fear wants to define your next season, but it didn't come from God. Fear says, sit down.
The flame says, you better stand up. Fear says, you're too young. The flame says, set the example. Fear says, you're too old. The flame says, keep pouring. You got a lot to pour out. Fear says, your grief disqualifies you. The flame says, your grief deepens your anointing. Y'all, we have seen this morning our youth fan into flame what God had called them to do. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't easy yeses. It wasn't. But they felt called, and they knew that God was going to bring them to it. We get to witness now this word that I've just talked about in real time, the flame being carried into the next generation. I've asked a couple of our high school seniors to come up and just real quickly tell us, what has God been doing for them? What do they expect from God in the coming months as they graduate? Because sometimes for us older people, I know they keep me going, it's nice to hear what God's doing through young people. It's refreshing. So I'm going to call Jackson Wolf up and Elijah Vanderheiden up. Just to share with us, Jackson, you want to go first as to what God has been doing in your life?
Good morning. I'm Jackson Wolf. I'm a senior at Nolensville High School. I'm going to steal something that my dad usually likes to do here. He usually picks like a letter, and he finds three words that match that letter to use to talk about whatever message he needs to deliver. So today I've got four what I'm hoping to receive from God in my next year in my transition to college. I've got the three G's, right? So my first one is guidance. In Proverbs 16:9, he says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." And I'm hoping that no matter what I choose to do, the Lord makes sure that I do the right thing, that no matter what steps, wherever I go to school, whatever major I decide, that the Lord, he knows what I should be doing. He knows where I'm headed. He's going to be the decision maker for me in my future. My next one is gratefulness. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I'm hoping that no matter what I do, where I end up, what blessings are bestowed upon me via acceptances to schools or scholarships or programs that I'm admitted to, I'm hoping that I am given the blessing to be able to give thanks and be grateful for everything that I have received. I don't want to feel entitled to anything that God provides for me, because it's not guaranteed. What God provides, I should be grateful for, and God is going to provide that gratefulness for me. And my last G is generosity. In Proverbs 11:25, he says, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." I'm hoping that God blesses me with the ability to give back and continue everything that I've started through high school. One of my favorite things that I'm able to do is best buddies. During the school day, I just go and I hang out. I just hang out with my special needs friends. And I'm hoping that I'm able to give back in my future in the ways that I give to other people in the way that God gives to me. I'm really just hoping that He knows what's right for me. He knows where I should be headed. He knows what I am going to do and what is for me. And those three G's, I'm hoping that he blesses me with.
All right. Good morning, Strong Tower. My name is Elijah Vanderheiden. I'm a senior at Hillsborough High School just down the road. My parents are the beautiful Kate and the slightly less beautiful Yuri Vanderheiden. Now, when Pastor Felicia asked me to talk about what I'm hoping to see God do in my life in the coming months and coming years, God put a word on my heart that I had read recently as I was reading through 1 Timothy. And it's one many of you all probably know. It's from 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. And it says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Now, throughout much of my life, for better or worse, God's put me in a lot of leadership positions, especially in soccer. And so it's easy when I step onto a soccer field, put my game face on, the whistle blows, I kick a little ball around, and I yell at my teammates for 90 minutes. But in life, I don't step off the field until the final whistle blows and I meet my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is kind of scary because that means these attributes God's expecting me to use through the rest of my life. And looking at these things, I can't really do these for more than 5 minutes at a time. I'm not a very good speaker. I don't really enjoy it. And oftentimes my words are bitter and biting. I'm sure my sister's nodding right now. Yeah, I see that. My actions often embarrass myself and those around me. I'm not very loving a lot of the time. I'm often unfaithful. I doubt every day. The Lord knows my heart isn't pure. But as I look into this congregation, I see a lot of people who exhibit these things beautifully. And I can name a bunch of people who have poured into my life and poured these things into me. I can talk about Mr. Xavier and Miss Joy, Mr. Ben and Miss Rebecca, Miss Savannah, Miss Shalisa, I see you up there, Mr. Rick, Pastor Felicia, my parents especially. And I can say, I don't think anybody can truly exhibit these attributes without living in God's word and being around a community of people who exhibit these traits beautifully. And so as I move into the next years of my life, in college, to a job, wherever God calls me, I pray that God develops me into a leader for the faith. God increases these attributes in me, and God surrounds me with a family half as good as Strong Tower that will pour into me. So thank you all, and I'm excited to see what God has in store for me.
Amazing. Amazing. God is doing something a little different with young people here at Strong Tower. I'm not sure what it is. I wish I knew. I know it's good, and I know it's goodness, and I know it's favor, and I know it's love. And he has done amazing things through and with our young people, and I know he will continue to do that. My high school seniors this year, I'm going to miss seeing you next year if you're going away to college. But your flame doesn't go out when you leave home. It doesn't go out when you leave Strong Tower. It doesn't go out when you're in your dorm. It may feel a little heavier. But just know we're always going to have your back here at home. Before I go into my second part here, I just want to say before we go on, this is kind of a break. This is what we call when we teach young people a commercial break, where we kind of go off here. And I just want to say, Strong Tower, y'all are just crazy amazing about our young people here, from the babies up through college. And I never get to slow down enough to say thank you for linking arms with the Lord and walking with our young people. And if it's all right with y'all, I want to take just 2 seconds. If you are a young person and if you help lead whatever, touch the young people during the week, once, twice, three times a month, could you stand right now if you serve with the young people? If you are a young person and you serve with the young people, please stand right now. Please stand. Yes. Yes. There's no round of applause that's enough for your time. Your time is something you don't get back. Once you spend your time, that's your time spent. It's more than any dollar could ever be worth. And so I just want to take the time, as we're talking about Paul pouring into Timothy, I want to say thank you for pouring into our young people. It's beautiful, and I'm so grateful to do another year with you. It's going to be great. Paul poured into Timothy. Timothy would pour into others. Faith is not meant to die or stop with one person, no matter your age, what title you hold. It is meant to be carried forward. It doesn't stop with anybody in this room. The kids tell me all the time about what they do at school and how a fight broke out and what they had to say. And then the kids are like, why are you different? Why don't you? Because I know the Lord and I know I don't want to be in no fight. That's what being carried forward. When we look a little different, we talk a little different. As you just heard from just two of our youth, and I could bring them all up here and they would all blow your mind. They blow mine every week. Our youth are not waiting to be used someday. Oh, one day I'll get up there and say, nope, they are burning right now. Their flame is coming out of their heads. They're not waiting to be 18. They're not waiting to go to seminary. They're not waiting for a degree. They're not waiting for graduation. To the older people in the room like myself, can we be more like children? Can we think about this a little harder? How do we fan our flames? The world is heavy. The world is hard. Let's make it practical. How do we fan our flame? God's presence. Cleon told me a few weeks ago, we were talking about when he came up under Pastor Chris a long time ago. Pastor said, stay in your word. Stay in your word. So he told Cleon, and Cleon and I were talking about, man, you have to stay in your word. How to fan the flame? God's presence, God's people, and God's purpose. Stay close to God's presence, his word. Pray. Seek him. Stay connected to God's people. They're going to straighten you up if you get sideways. That's what God gives us, that thing. He gives us that thing where we're not ashamed to say, hey, let's go this way. Stay committed to God's purpose. God called me to this, but I think I want to do that. At the age of 20, I became a real estate broker. I did that for 19 years. I came here, I was doing real estate. One day God said no. Wait a minute, what? He said no. He said yes to ministry, no to this. Woke my husband up out of his sleep in the middle of the night. I said, we need to talk about something. I'm called, and I can't, this is going to look real funny for our family for a minute, but I can't walk away from it. You know what you're supposed to do. You know what God says to you. We know. But then we want to say, but, Elder Sherman, I want to do this. This is how your flame stays lit. Close to God's presence, connected to God's people, committed to God's purpose for your life. That's how it stays lit. Like I said, I have spiritual fathers. I have two. I won't call their names because they'll probably leave the church. But I have two in this building right now. They're good to me. I had a biological father that passed away. He was a good man. And my spiritual fathers are pouring a foundation that's not any better than my earthly father, but they're pouring a foundation that's going to keep me for a really long time. I want to tell a story, a little bit about how I was raised. I'm not going all the way into that, but when I was thinking about the flame, how do you keep it going? What does it look like? It made me think about a time growing up. You see, I grew up in a farmhouse, a 100-year-old farmhouse in the 80s that was way before farmhouses were cool. There was no Joanna Gaines coming to fix it up. It wasn't like that. We had this old farmhouse, and our only heating source was a wood-burning stove. Now, my brother and I laugh because only by the grace of God are we alive today, and I'm going to tell you why. Because
because it's wood burning stove. I think I got a little picture up here. Something may look like it. There we go. Y'all ever seen this before? Can y'all see that? Well, I was looking for the one that I had at home exactly, but I had to get it made like this because I want to tell y'all something. We had that brown shag carpet in our living room. We had about an inch of plywood between the carpet and the wood stove. Uh-huh. And the wood stove sat on that. And you see that stove pipe? It went directly into the wood paneling. Y'all don't believe the Lord ain't been looking out for me. Y'all are wrong. And so my grandfather, he was nervous anyway, but he would come over, and every time he'd come visit us, he'd fill that wall. And I thought, well, what in the world is he filling a wall for? I'm a kid. I'm like, he's acting weird. But nevertheless, we went on. But I was the oldest living child during this time period of my family. It was my job to tend to the fire. That was my job. My dad would build it in the morning. If I was home from school, it was my job. When I got home from school, it was my job to check the fire. Can you keep the picture up there, please? Thank you. All right, so my dad said this to me, Felicia, here's what you do. You get the good, dry, seasoned wood, you bring it in, and you put it in the stove. Now, you don't put too much in there because you just want to get a good flame going. Now, I need you to check it after breakfast, before lunch. And if there's any ashes in there, make sure you take them out because that's dead stuff. And if you leave too much of the dead stuff in there, it'll smother the fire out. We had this little bucket, this little black bucket with this little, why is the handle so short? It burnt my arm so many times. This little bucket with these, the ash bucket beside the stove. He said, now when the ashes, the dead stuff burns off, I need you to get the bucket. I need you to get all them ashes out. Even the coals that may be burning a little bit, they ain't going to help the fire. Get the coals that's not burning fully, get the ashes, put it in the bucket, take it out to the pasture. We had a pasture. Take a gallon of water. When you dump the ashes, put the water on the ashes so they don't try to relight because they're no good. My daddy was telling me something. He was telling me something, y'all. So when you build your fire, build it with the good, the dry, the seasoned stuff. Don't get the soggy wood because that's not what you need. When the fire burns down and you've got ashes, depression, broken relationships, tears, sadness, scoop it out, put it in your spiritual bucket. Take the bucket out to never see it again. Dump it and pour water on it because it's dead and it's not going to reignite in the way that you need it to reignite in your life. 2026 will probably not be easy, but God's good. You've got a fire today. And on January the 1st, you're going to have the same fire, the same anointing. God is not going to change his love for you, his purpose for you, his plan for you, or his days for you. He knows what you're going to do next year. He knows what he's calling you to do. So church, do not walk out of this year with a dying flame. You can't do it. You owe God more than that. Don't do it. Walk out with a strengthened, guarded flame. What God started in you, God will sustain in you as you fan it forward. All right? So keep your flame alive. Keep walking forward. Do not smother it. Nobody can take it, not even the devil. He cannot take it from you. Fan the flame forward that you have today into next year. You are blessed. You are here. You are loved. You are created in his image for his purpose and your purpose. Do not forget that, my college friends up there. Comparison will take you down. Gossip will take you out. That's that soggy wood that causes them ashes that you've got to take to pasture and pour the water on. God's got something good for everybody in this room, every believer in this room. He has something for you.
We don't dismiss our grief. We don't dismiss when we have a gap in our life. We are not those Christians that say, ah, it's all right, God's got it. We are not those people. We walk alongside one another. We pray with you. We expect the hope. We sit in hope with you. We expect the miracles with you. We expect the healing with you. If you don't have any brothers and sisters in here or mothers or fathers in here, I want to encourage you to get connected with one. You're going to be better. You're going to be better. God is good. And our flame will be here next year. Praise God. I'm so grateful for you.
I've been preaching a long time. I've heard a lot of preaching, but I've never heard a very familiar passage, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, broken down so plainly, clearly, and practically as we just heard. Amen. Wow. Would you stand to your feet for prayer? So many nuggets. Got to go back and listen to that. In a moment of silence, would you just bow your head and think about what the Spirit of the Lord impressed on your heart? And then I'll pray. Father, we will not allow fear to put the fire that you gave us out. A fire that did not start with us, but a fire that started with you. A flame, a gift from the Holy Spirit that works in conjunction with the purpose, the unique purpose that you've placed on each life in this room. Thank you, Lord, for using your servant this morning to break the bread of life and rightly divide the word of truth in such a way that we could get a word for ourselves. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So before we hear all of the New Year's resolution talks, all of the ways we can self-improve, we've heard a word from you as believers that we don't have to wait for the calendar to change for us to walk in the change that you have for each and every one of us. So Lord, thank you for the word, the encouragement to continue to be intimate and close to you, to spend time with your people, especially those who are older than us in the Lord, and also, Lord, to understand our purpose. Thank you for our students who led us today in worship. Thank you for how they led us in example, in testimony, in word. Thank you. Lord, I sat there saying, Strong Tower is in great hands. I thank you, Lord, for the life that they bring to us. Thank you for their care and concern for the least of these amongst us. And thank you today for having our children in the service. And we can hear their sprightly cries, their joy. Lord, I love this family. I love this church with all of our wrinkles and blemishes because you love us. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, but never from your presence, that we'll reflect and meditate on these things. That yes, we heard a good word from this pastor, but we also want to make sure we hear a good word from you. Even if that means we go and spend some time meditating and reflecting on this passage this week, because there's so much more you have for each one of us, a personalized word to build on what we heard today. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you, Lord. We say now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, and it is according to the power, the fire, the flame that is burning within us. To him be all of the glory, the majesty, the dominion, and the power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Can you give God one more hand praise? Come on now, come on, let's give it to him. Hallelujah. He's so worthy. He's so good. And before you leave, you got to hug three people. You cannot leave until you hug three people. Have a blessed day, y'all.